Matthew chapter 16, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Bible says, starting with verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. What about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, listen to Jesus' words here. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was revealed to you by not by man, but by my Father in heaven. Now, I can't imagine anything I would rather hear in my life than Jesus Christ to tell me that I am blessed. Amen. Tracking with that? So this would be one of them high spots for Peter. Let's keep on reading, though. Find it again. He says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. If I'm Peter, I'm feeling good. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'll take those keys. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose on heaven, loosed in heaven. And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Definitely a pinnacle moment for the Apostle Peter. Amen? Amen. Continuing to read, though, because after the highs, sometimes comes a low. Here we go. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Jesus took him aside and began to rebuke our Lord Jesus Christ, who knows nothing good follows when you rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not where you want to be. This is a way to hit a low. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Man, you move from blessed are you, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, to get behind me, Satan. If there's anything I don't want to hear Jesus say to me, it would be, get behind me, Satan. Amen? You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you would come after me, must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Lord, we come to you this morning, know that you are mighty and good and awesome. Lord, knowing that sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it incredibly wrong. Lord, I pray your wisdom come upon us this morning, that we can hear from you, that we can grab onto you, and we can find our fullness in you. Lord, that you would see something in each of us, that you would begin to reach out and move on our behalf. We get that. Well done, good and faithful servant, Lord. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
I don't want to offend anybody, but I was again, I have this story I've been dying to tell you about when I was working on my Super 88. I got to do it. I've been trying. I was doing the brakes on the Super and the wheels. Are big and heavy on this thing. It's a 1963. We got some visitors here. Big wheels. And so I didn't want to lay it down because I want to have to lift it up again. It's that heavy, you know. And so I leaned it against my non-running Explorer that sits right in front of the now-running Super. And I'm working on my brakes. And something happens, and I see... My house, the parsonage, the church's house that I live in, it lived on a hill. It sits on a hill, and my driveway is very steep. And it lends out to a road that is very steep. And I look up, and I see my wonderful Super 88 heavy chrome tire rolling down my driveway. And I said, whoa! I said, whoa! And I jumped up, and I was rushing. You know, I was moving down there to get that, because my son had rolled the Super 88 in a poor day down into a truck that was parked across the street, and I looked and I saw no truck. I was going hallelujah, but I was dashing after that tire, and I noticed that my dashing was not really cutting it. But I saw the tire, and it's running right towards, praise the Lord, a telephone pole. Whew, yeah. And so I'm dashing down there, and I'm going, okay, it looks like I'm safe. There's no cars around. And it hits the telephone pole, bounces up in the air 3 feet, and begins to roll down the street. And I realize that my dash is not going to cut it, okay? So I start running. I mean, I am running after this tire because, I mean, it's a steep hill. If you've been to my house, you see it. It's a steep hill. It can go 30 miles an hour, and there's a light down there, and I'm like, oh, my Lord. And so I am running, and I am running as fast as I can run. And I had this thought in my mind. You're really running fast. I don't know if that ever happens to you, you know. You know, and there was this thought. It's like, I didn't know you could run this fast. And there was a little bit of pride in that, you know. I was like, yeah. But that was my last thought. Because all of a sudden, I'm on the pavement with my head, and I'm looking, my glasses are out like here. And I'm just thinking, how did I get here? I mean, it was quick. I mean, I was just on the ground, and I'm reaching for my glasses, and they're kind of bent, and I look up, and the tire's still rolling down the road. Maybe I was out a second. I don't know, half a second or something. But I jump up. And I started dashing again. You know, I mean, running, no, we're not going to run anymore downhill. And the Lord was with me. And the wheel kind of veered off to the right and ran into a trailer that was filled with branches and stuff and kind of got wedged in between that and the curb. And I tell you this story because right when you're thinking, hey, good stuff is going on right here, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Bam! Things can turn around abruptly. That's what happened with Peter. That's what we read about today, some abrupt changes in Peter's life. We're in a series called Breaking Through Darkness. And it is a series with a focus on the cross, being Easter season, and a focus on the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of our Lord. Amen? And is that death and that resurrection that allows us to break through darkness and break through the barriers that keep us from the kingdom of God. Amen? See, we looked last week at the Last Supper, and they come out, and things are looking pretty good, but things are getting ready to turn for the worse. Jesus is headed for the cross, and in just a short while, he will be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Things are getting ready to change for the worse. And sometimes that just happens. The Lord gives us the ability to grab onto him and break through. Peter is getting ready to make some incredibly bold statements and some incredibly poor choices. I can relate to Peter. I've done both, and not just when I am dashing after my tire. I have done both in my life. Feeling good, choosing bad. Perhaps you can relate. I think we got a lot of Peters in the crowd. But Jesus makes the opportunity to break through these poor choices, break through bondage, break through sin, that we can find victory. Wherever God sees a will, God makes a way. Amen? Amen? Amen. Take a look at Peter today. Breaks through the darkness and begins to shine. We're going to take through at that whole process. Got many Peters in the house. Got a Peter preaching today. We're going to take a look at barriers and breakthrough. Amen? Amen. All right. First thing we're going to talk about is being caught by the truth. Because you can't get by truth. Amen? Peter's going to get caught up. Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 to 35. Then Jesus, and I got a lot of text today. Bible is good. Amen? Yes. Jesus told them, this very night, and I read this last week, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Continuing on. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other, you gotta not miss that part. All the other disciples said the same thing. Peter's living in confidence. Like me, running after that tire. Man, you can run fast. Things are getting ready to turn quick. Jesus says, tonight, you will disown me. You all fall away from me. See, Jesus knows. He's been trying to tell the disciples. He knows that he will be turned over to the hands of men. Jesus knows that he will be crucified, beaten, spit upon, lied upon, turned over to those men. And Jesus knows that on the third day, he will rise again. Amen? Amen. See, Jesus knows it all. And he gives Peter specific detail. Tonight, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to disown me and deny me three times. And then the rooster's going to crow. Peter's not having it. Peter thinks he knows better. Peter's confident. It's never going to happen. All the disciples, yeah, we can handle this. We got this. We're good with this. No way. See, we all got a little bit of Peter in us. So often we think, we know better than God. God, I can get through this. Well, let's keep reading. Now, Peter was sitting. Now, I jumped down about 30 verses. How many verses? 35 to 69. Jesus has been arrested, taken, beaten. He has been taken before the chief priests. And Peter's out in the courtyard. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, girl. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people, this guy was with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied it again, and with an oath, he says, I don't know the man. Does that sound like denial? After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely, you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. If you're from Galilee, it's like you're from Texas or something. You sound a little bit different. And then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. And immediately, a rooster crows. cutting through the silence. And Peter remembered what Jesus had told him. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went out of the courtyard and he wept bitterly. Peter runs into failure. Peter runs into truth. Kind of a scoreboard moment. Jesus had hit the nail right on the head. Not one denial, not two denials, three denials, and the rooster crows. Truth can hurt. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. The truth hurt Peter. Question for you this morning is, what do you do with your pain? What do you do when you get hit with truth? A couple things you can try. You can deny it. Oh, that wasn't me. Lie. Ever try that? You try and run away from your sin. Cover it up. When you cover up your sin, when you cover up your pain, when you try to cover up truth in your life, it ends up forming a barrier between you and the kingdom of God. You run from truth. You run from sin. It will hound you forever. Thank you for that, Pastor Carlos. I'll buy you lunch today. The other option, I'll buy you all lunch today. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
I like amen. There we go. The other option is you can grab onto that truth. You can own your pain. Because when you grab onto truth and you own pain, now you can line up for healing. But if you spend all your time telling everybody how you're not sick, how you haven't done anything wrong, that sin's on you. And you'll never get away. You grab onto truth, you own your pain, you can find healing because where God sees a will, God makes a way. I remember I was saved for about a year, and I moved in with my roommate from college. How old was I? I was probably 30, and he had bought a house. He needed help with rent and stuff, and he was still. He had an attorney living with him. They had problems with women and problems with booze. And I said, John, I'll move in with you. I can help you out, but you got to control the women, man. I mean, and the other attorney was stone cold alcoholic, and he's like, okay. And it was, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months later, and his girlfriend was there in the morning, and he ended up marrying her, I don't know, 2 years later or something like that. And I said, John, I got to move. And I looked on the board, it was a big church I was going to, and there was rooms for rent. And Howie, up there, he had a room for $100. And it was in the hood. I mean, it was in the ghetto up in Sacramento. I mean, it was like, you picture the deepest, darkest part of Logan. That's where it was. And so I go down. It's a two-bedroom house, old house. And, you know, I'm kind of looking at the place. And Howie's just this kind of happy dude, you know, and okay, I'll move in. All right, what's the setup? He goes, well, I'm separate from my wife, and I got two boys. One's like 10 or 11, and one's 8. And I was moving into their room. And he goes, they're with me on Wednesdays and every other weekend or something like that. Fine, man, that's cool. They're in your room, right? Yeah, they're in my room. Okay. He had a big old king-size bed. And, so we're good. And it's like I'm there for 2 weeks, and his wife, and I'm not lying to you. I mean, this, some of the stuff I tell you guys, I think you might think I'm not being truthful, but I'm telling you this straight up. His wife has a nervous breakdown, and the boys move in. So now it's Howie, and it was Howie, his two sons, and they're in his room, and the wife is out there. And it's like a week and a half later, and she has a complete breakdown, and she moves in. So it's me. See, I told you, you think I'm lying. I'm not. It's me, and I'm pumped, man. I mean, I'm getting ready to go to Bible college. This is like June, and I'm leaving in August, September to go to Bible college. I'm so pumped, going to church all the time. Me and Howie going to church with his two kids and his crazy wife all in one bedroom. And it was such a fun summer, man. I mean, oh. And, I mean, the wife was really bad off. But Howie said, yeah, this is the greatest thing. He goes, it's like having a live-in counselor for free. And, you know, I had a will to work for the Lord. And Howie had a will to work on his family. And God saw that and made a way. God's so good. Amen? I mean, you want to get right today. You want to get good today. You want to grab onto God today. He made a way of putting his son on the cross for you to find him. Amen? All right. Well, we're talking about Peter. Let's get going again. Here we go. Now, all right, we talked about Peter's denial. We're going to take this through all the way to the day of Pentecost, and we're going to spend some time in Mark, Luke, and John, and then we're going to go to Book of Acts. So we're moving around right now. Now, talking about God seeing a willing heart, okay? God seeing a willing heart. And I want to let you know that when Peter went outside and wept, he was grabbing on to that truth, and he was grabbing on to that pain, and he was hugging it close to him, thinking, how much have I messed up God? You tracking with me? God sees a will, God makes a way. All right, let's get back here. Get my page over here. Mark chapter 1, verses 6. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. When the Sabbath was over, or the Sabbath is the Sabbath. You got Good Friday, then you got the Sabbath, and then you got Sunday, the first day of the week, Easter morning. Got it? Sabbath was over, Easter morning. Sabbath was over. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. They'll put these spices on them and kind of do an embalming thing, or, you know, kind of a preservation thing. Maybe 75 pounds of these spices. There was a bunch of them. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, so a lot of people have sunrise services, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away? It's a great big stone to kind of keep people out. Continuing on. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white, in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. You think so? I think so. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. Can I get a witness? He's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. The angel reaches out to Peter. This is a resurrection morning. Died on Friday, buried on Friday night, which is really Saturday morning, and is risen on Sunday morning, 3 days in the ground. God sends his message. Tell the disciples and Peter. Singles out Peter by name. He knew there was some hope in Peter. He knew there was a will in Peter to get back on track with him. Where there's a will, where God sees a will, God makes a way. And when there is no will, God turns away. And they go, what? Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Furthermore, he's talking about those who had enough revelation of God to grab onto him, and they denied it and rejected him. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind. Do you want to run from God? God will let you go. You want to run from God? God will let you go. Not one amen. Johnny Woodbury, lunch on me today, buddy. See, so many people think God's going to get in front of you. He's not going to let you run away. Right here, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what not ought to be done. You want sin? Lord says, go for it. Maybe I'll see you on the backside. When you hurt bad enough, when truth grabs you and you hurt bad enough, you might at that point reach out to heaven for salvation. You can relate, Pastor Carlos?
Yes.
I can relate. I can relate. Peter can relate. It's kind of quiet in here. A lot of Peters in the house. That's why. Peter's not done yet. He had wept bitterly. He had grabbed out for God. If you will own your sin, if you get nothing else today, get this. If you will own your sin, you can confess it and be forgiven. Amen. It is because where God sees a will, God makes a way. You can be set free. You're running from your sin, you'll never get away from it. Let's keep going. Luke chapter 24. Okay, so we're hitting all the Gospels today. Luke 24, 9 through 12. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others that were with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe. This is Sunday morning. They did not believe the women's words because it seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself, what is going on? See, God sends a message to Peter, and Peter gets it. Mary Magdalene, the ladies came. Jesus risen from the dead, guys. Disciples did not believe. Sounded like foolishness to them. Bible tells us, Paul writing 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the man without the Spirit cannot accept the things of God. And the Spirit had not yet been poured out, and they don't believe it. Jesus has been telling them for weeks, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to die, and on the third day, rise from the dead. Amen? Amen. Peter says, what did he say? They said, the disciples and Peter. He mentioned me by name. The disciples and Peter, the lady said. And Peter takes off running. He is running to the tomb. He is going to check this out because he wants it to be real. Amen? God sees a will. God's making a way. Peter gets to the tomb. The stone is rolled away. And he goes to the grave closet, and tradition tells us that they wrap the body in these cloths, and the cloths are laying there, and they're still in the shape. There's no body, and he's touching them, and he's thinking, what does this mean? Risen, raised from the dead. It's the third day, and things begin to start coming together in Peter's brain. That happened to you? I mean, all this God stuff, it's a big thing. Amen? You come to the Lord and say, man, this is so big. I mean, it's not that thick of a book, but man, those pages are skinny pages. There's a lot of pages there. I remember being young in the Lord before I moved in with Howie. And I'd listen to preaching on the radio every day. I didn't like Saturday because they didn't have the preaching on the radio. They had like health shows and investing shows. I said, no, I need more preaching. That's what we need more. They didn't have the internet back then and couldn't do it online or nothing. And I'd be going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Wednesday night, Fridays when I could find one. Had a small group. We'd go on Tuesdays. Didn't have anything going on Thursdays. Couldn't figure it out. Go to church and just get slammed by the Lord. That happened to you? Go to church and just the Lord just, man, I used to be thinking, oh, don't say my name. Don't say my name. I think just for me, man. Don't call my. I'll be up there. I will be up there. I'll be praying, Lord, you got me. And then this thing started to happen. That the preacher would come and he'd be bringing it on Sunday. Great preacher, Glenn Cole. And he'd start bringing this stuff, just slaying me. But this stuff that he was bringing up, it started to be stuff that I was already working on. That the Lord had been nailing me on Wednesday, on Thursday, and on Friday. And I came to church, and it was like confirmation. Because, I mean, he's preaching his guts out, and he can preach, man. And he's preaching this stuff, and I go, man, I was working on that on Thursday. And the Lord goes, right, because you're on track. And it's like getting an attaboy from God, a well done. Come to church for a confirmation rather than instruction. Amen? Oh, man, it's good when it starts to come together. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Gospel of John, it's the only one that was left. Moving in the kingdom. Now we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 20, 19 to 22, on the evening of the first day. Right? So we've got Friday, Thursday night when he gets arrested. We've talked about Friday when Jesus, it's kind of the whole sundown thing where they break their days off. But we got Peter denying him in the courtyard. Then we've got him running away at the, nobody's at the cross except for John. Now we got some, and the ladies come and they tell him that Jesus is risen. The angel had talked to him and none of them believe him. Peter runs. Now we're talking Sunday night. Sunday night. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Disciples are empowered. They are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathes on them. Easter night. Ladies that came, brought the story, there to meet Jesus. Do you remember where? Meet Jesus in Galilee. Comes a Sunday night. Rather than hustling off to get to Galilee to meet Jesus, they're locked up. They're afraid of the Jewish leaders. Their fear of the Romans and their fear of the Jewish leaders is getting in between them and God. I'm wondering this morning, because we have so many Peters in the house, what gets in between you and God? Now Jesus comes to them, moves right through the locked walls, and says, "Guys, here I am." Gives them proofs of his death, crucifixion, and he stands there proving his resurrection. And things begin to change. He equips them for a mission. He breathes on them. Remember, God made Adam in the garden and breathed on him. Amen? Amen. They were afraid, confused. They had deserted him. But there was still something there. God sees a will. God makes a way. Last thing I got for you today. Acts chapter 2:14. I'm going to chunk this up. Acts chapter 2, go read it this afternoon. It is a glorious chapter. 2:14, then Peter stood up with the 11. This is after the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. Read that in Acts 2, 1 through 4. Stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you what's going on. Listen carefully to what I say." Jump down to verse 16. "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. jump to the end of the message. He gives a history of the Jews, pointing right to our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, you guys put him on a cross. You guys cried out to crucify him. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Brothers, what shall we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God works through the willing. Peter trying to get back on track. Day of Pentecost, Peter stands to preach, and he preached to those who had cried for the crucifixion of Christ. God could have turned his back on them. Burn it down. I'm done with these. But where he sees a will, God makes a way. Peter is the picture of a man making every effort to get back on track, get lined up with God. He's messed up. He's denied Christ. His sin got in the way of all that God had for him. And Peter presents our opportunity of lining up on God and lining up on the plans of the kingdom. Peter lays it out to the crowd. They are cut to the heart. What can we do? Repent. Be baptized. Turn from your sin and line up on God. You will be saved and receive the Holy Spirit. And God makes a way. 3,000 saved that day. 3,000 line back up on the Lord. Amen? Lisa, you can come up. What a route Peter took from denying Christ to dying for Christ. Paul took a similar route. Writes in 1 Corinthians 9, run your race in such a way as to win the prize. We have so many here that started off stumbling. That's some amens from some Peters, some stumblers in the crowd, and so many that said, you know, it hurts too bad. I got to grab on to this truth. You're running too fast. This is downhill, and things are not going to be looking good for you today. Sometimes it's so easy to see your error, laying flat on the pavement. Not any clue on how you got there. But where God sees a will, God makes a way. In Peter's life, he had denied Christ. The cock crows. He could have stood up and said, well, he's going to get crucified anyway. I'm done. But he went outside and he wept bitterly and he grabbed onto his truth and grabbed onto his pain. Said, oh, God, rescue me, a sinner. And God uses him to be his mouthpiece and builds his church on Peter, 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. It is so great to see so many Peters out there today, running in such a way as to get the prize. Amen? Sometimes you fall, man. I had to bend my glasses back together again. It was hard rolling that tire up that hill. You know, truth is not easy. Getting well is not easy. But God makes a way. Maybe you're here this morning. And you say, oh yeah, I'm a Peter. But I have never grabbed on to my pain. I've never grabbed on to my sin. And I'm not in a good place. Well, we'll let you know this morning. You hear from God this morning, it is because he's not done with you yet. There's something in you that he sees that he wants to work a change in you. He sees a will and he's made a way, and he says, join me in the kingdom. You have to turn away from what you've got going on. You got to hurt bad enough to let it go and to grab onto me. That sin, you have to own it. You have to say, Lord, I am a sinner. I am so messed up. Lord, I want you. That's you this morning. God's made a way. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you're good and mighty and awesome. Lord, that you come to this place and you make a way for each of us, Lord. We thank you that there is indeed a prize. And I pray this morning right now for those who have not yet started running. For those who might start this morning, that they could be in a starter stance, and by raising a hand to heaven would say, oh Lord, I'm so messed up. Lord, I want to run towards you. I want that prize. Make a way for me, Lord. Make a way for me, Lord. Don't be looking around, and the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning. He says, my child, time to start, time to run. I have made the way. That's you this morning. You want to run towards the Lord. You want to make that start. I'd just like to have you just raise your hand up like you're reaching out to him and say, God, that is me this morning right back there. Somebody else would say, that is me this morning right here. Somebody else say, that's me. I want to start running. I want to run towards God. I want to win this prize. Anybody else here this morning?